Rosemary Martorana, Director of Intelligence here at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, and you're listening to Intelligence Unclassified. This podcast is exactly what the title states, unclassified information about current trends in homeland security for the state of New Jersey, as well as educational information and resources for your awareness. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. Please feel free to add this podcast to your RSS feed or iTunes. You can also follow NJOHSP on Twitter at NJOHSP and Facebook. All links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov.
Hello, my name is Erin Henry. I'm a principal planner in the Preparedness Bureau at the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. Today we're going to discuss winter weather preparedness in the state of New Jersey, and I'm here with some very special guests, and we'll start with Andrew.
Great to be here. I'm Andrew Tenard. I'm the Assistant Commissioner for Operations at the New Jersey Department of Transportation.
Dave?
I'm Dr. Dave Robinson. I'm a professor in the Department of Geography at Rutgers University and also the New Jersey State Climatologist.
And Joe?
I'm Joe McKetta. I'm with the National Weather Service in Mount Holly, New Jersey, and I'm their Warning Coordination Meteorologist.
Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
We're glad to be here.
We're going to start with talking with Dr. Robinson about what kinds of winter weather does New Jersey typically experience?
New Jersey has a potpourri of winter weather. We can get some very nasty storms. We can have damage along our coastal areas, being a coastal state. Look back to past examples, for instance, the blizzard of January of 2016. And that was a case where you had very heavy snowfall, strong winds blowing the snow around. And down by the coast, especially the southern coast, they had flooding from storm surge coming in that exceeded that seen at the southern coast in Sandy back in 2012. So we can get it all at once in different parts of the state. We're also not immune to very heavy rainstorms during the winter that can lead to flooding. On a rare case, following some cold weather, there can be ice jam flooding in some of the rivers of the state. Of course, despite the fact that New Jersey has gotten warmer, we're still not immune to having cold outbreaks that can be very dangerous when you combine low temperatures and wind chill, strong winds with that. So, you know, you throw those in and then the occasional ice storm that can just coat the roads, power lines, and trees very quickly with just a minute amount of liquid and can result in havoc. And then if you really add weight to that with more freezing rain, you can result in massive power outages. So again, we can have very calm conditions for good portions of the winter, but in a moment's notice, you can get some very severe weather.
You sort of alluded to this. How do you think the climate change has affected winter weather in New Jersey, if at all?
Well, New Jersey has gotten warmer, about 3 to 4 degrees warmer over the last century during the winter. And even warming faster than that are our extreme minimum temperatures. So it's very difficult these days to get an exceptionally cold low temperature. So we have warmed some. But interestingly enough, that hasn't influenced the amount of snow we've received at this point, nor has there been a major effect on precipitation. Neither of those show anything in sort of a trend. Now, eventually, we look to the situation where a snowstorm of today hanging just at or below the freezing mark will become a rainstorm. But thus far, we haven't seen that change. In fact, we've seen our share of large snowstorms in recent years, and some hypothesize that that is due to the fact that temperatures remain below freezing, but there's more moisture in the atmosphere because it's just slightly warmer, and that can add fuel to the fire, so to speak, and give us some major snowstorms. With time, we think that will diminish, but for now, we can still get our share of pretty severe winter weather.
Thank you very much. Joe, what are we expecting for 2016, 2017? Can we know yet?
Well, this far out, we look at trends, and we look at global patterns that might influence our local weather here in New Jersey. And right now, we're looking at a La Nina event, which means that the sea surface temperatures in the Pacific South American coast will be below normal rather than above normal, which is what we experienced over the past year. And when we look at past years, when we had a La Nina event, we take a look at the kind of weather. Generally, in the northern part of the United States, we get cooler and maybe wetter conditions than normal, as opposed to the southern part of the country, which generally gets warmer and maybe even drier conditions. So the problem here in New Jersey, we're kind of like right in the middle. And it really does make it a little more tricky to figure out what might be going on this winter. So right now, the official forecast from our Climate Prediction Center is actually telling us that we have equal chances for above normal or below normal temperature and precipitation, which means basically about anything can occur. Don't be surprised if it does. So that's what we're looking at. We're going to be taking a look at other analogs in our office over the next couple of weeks to see whether or not we can maybe fine-tune that forecast a little bit. The problem is, and I think as Dave alluded to, is here in the Mid-Atlantic area, we get hit by everything from every direction. And that really is what the problem is here. We get weather from all different directions, all different source types, and we have a very large population and infrastructure over which that weather occurs. So sometimes you don't need a lot. You just need maybe a quarter of an inch of ice on the roads and you create havoc for everybody. And so sometimes, you know, forecasting extremes doesn't do a lot of good when even the small stuff gets us. But the official forecast is equal chances for precipitation and temperature, either above or below, for this upcoming winter.
Okay, so anything goes. Now, you work for the National Weather Service in Mount Holly, and from the National Weather Service, we get a number of different watches and warnings and advisories. Can you walk us through some of those and understand what to expect with different notifications we get?
Sure. I mean, the whole purpose of the watch warning program is to give people heads up, time to psychologically get prepared for the winter storms, and then also to get physically prepared for them as well. And a watch generally means that the conditions are favorable for heavy snow or ice to occur. We try to get watches out anywhere between 12 and 36 or maybe even up to 48 hours before the first snowflake falls, just to give people time to prepare. And then a warning, as we move closer to the event during the wintertime, the warning comes out anywhere between 12 and maybe 24 hours before the first snowflake falls. Again, just to give people time to prepare and take proper action. With us, of course, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, if we had given you, you know, 3-day notice that we were going to get 2 feet of snow, you would be surprised if we were right. Now, what happens is because of technology changing and the forecast process getting better, people are surprised if we're wrong. We try not to be wrong. We try to use all the technology to our advantage, but sometimes we're off a little bit, and so people need to also take that into account. And so one of the products that we're issuing now in the National Weather Service is probabilistic snowfall forecasts, where we actually give people an idea of what the low range might be and what the high range might be. And then we still give our official forecast out that's somewhere in the middle. So that way when people ask us how bad could it get, it's right on our website.
Great. Thank you so much. Moving on to Andrew from the Department of Transportation. Thanks so much for being here.
You're welcome.
New Jersey's transportation systems, I know they were affected from post-tropical cyclone Sandy. How have they become more resilient so that we can see a better preparedness during winter weather?
Yeah, the DOT and the state have done quite a bit of infrastructure hardening since Sandy. Particularly, we've rebuilt about 12-mile section of Route 35 along the shoreline. It was a roadway that was due to be rebuilt anyway, but the results of Sandy really gave us a lot of catalyst to do it and some new ideas to do it. So about 12-mile section of Route 35 was built with a seawall that was iron sheeting that was put in along the beachfront to protect the roadway from storm surge again. And also a whole new drainage system was installed when we rebuilt it to include about 9 pump stations to help drain the roadway off. Second thing we did was inspect many of our vulnerable bridges for scouring on the bayside. So we had divers go down and inspect the footings underneath the water. And many of those footings, because of scouring, needed to be bulked up a little bit. So we did that. And then thirdly, we experienced during Sandy that during a power outage, there's many traffic signals that go out. And traffic becomes a huge statewide problem when we have large sections of New Jersey that don't have power. Many local communities wanted to hook up portable generators onto our traffic signals. And the traffic signals are so sophisticated today, the electronics, what we found out is that the dirty generators didn't provide clean enough power that they were blowing out our traffic signals. So we reconditioned about 300 traffic signals on key parts of the state infrastructure to be able to quickly hook up a portable generator, you know, a little Honda generator, and it's not going to break our traffic signal. So those are just 3 examples of things we've done since Sandy. And the state is much better prepared for any type of tropical storm.
What are some challenges that the Department of Transportation faces when winter storms do hit? For instance, plowing. Are there different priorities for handling things like that? How does that all work?
We try to take very complex weather forecasts and simplify them for our decision making. So we don't have a magic formula that says this is going to be plowing per se. Actually, our greatest challenge is an icing condition. We commonly say that we would much prefer a 12-inch snowstorm any day as opposed to a half-inch ice storm. That's absolutely our worst-case scenario. But way before plowing, we do many things. First of all, if the conditions are correct, we like to pre-treat the roadway with a brine solution. It's a water solution with about 22% salt. It's a very economical way to pre-treat the road. It really buys us some time, so when the precipitation starts, the first part doesn't actually stick to the roadway. It melts immediately. And the biggest benefit is at the end of the storm, it allows us to get back to blacktop very quickly at the conclusion of a storm. So brine before the storm, and then during the storm, we start off with treating the roads with salt until the snowfall becomes so great that it turns into a plowing event. All of our resources are configured to go from brine to spreading to plowing and in reverse for any type of event. We can bring, if there's a statewide big snow like there was last January, the end of January, over 2,500 pieces of equipment to take care of the state's infrastructure. And New Jersey DOT, as well as our sister agencies at Turnpike and SJTA, we kept all our roads open during that storm, which is quite an accomplishment.
Excellent. So moving on, New Jersey residents, you know, sometimes we have to go to work, we have to get out there even though it's snowing. What sort of things can New Jersey residents do to prepare their vehicles for winter weather?
It's probably one of the most important things anyone who's going to drive on any of our roads year-round, actually, is to take good care of their vehicles. But in the winter in particular, there's some obvious things. The first part is, well, what touches the roadway? The tires. People need to make sure they have good tires, and then make sure that the tires are properly inflated. As the colder temperatures come in, think for about every 10 degrees that the air temperatures get colder, you lose about a pound of pressure in your tires. So it's very important that they be inflated properly. Other things, good maintenance of your vehicle. Make sure the battery is fully charged and ready to go. Windshield wiper fluid is full. People use a lot of it. I use tons of it during the winter months. It's always good to check it frequently. Make sure that the reservoir is full. Make sure that your wipers are in good working condition. Make sure that your cooling system of your vehicle is working properly. It's also the cooling and the heating system of the vehicle, so that's important that it works. It's also a good idea, I think, for people to pack things should they get into some type of delayed situation with traffic. Not a bad idea if their vehicle can hold it, a shovel, maybe a little can of ice melt if they should get stuck. And then lastly, make sure you have enough fuel. My father taught me when I was driving, as probably many of our parents did, you never let the car get below half a tank. That's really good advice, especially during the winter. You just never know if you're going to get stuck in a situation and you don't want to be riding on fumes and then you become a traffic problem yourself. So it's good to keep the car full of fuel.
Certainly. So we spoke about preparing our vehicles. What sort of tips on driving in winter weather should New Jersey residents be aware of?
I love this opportunity to talk about it because usually I'm talking to our press people and I say, please get this message out. The first is to slow down. It is so important when people see the weather changing, that should be their first indication that the road conditions are going to change and they need to be prepared for it first by slowing down. Speed kills, slow the car down, leave earlier, plan ahead, but slow the car down. When you are confronted with one of our vehicles or any government vehicle that's out there trying to treat the road, whether it be brining or spreading salt or plowing, give them plenty of room. They have to go slow in order to do their job properly, to plow properly when we're in a plowing situation. The plow should not be going more than 25 miles an hour. So if you think about that on an interstate, people expect even during winter conditions sometimes to be still traveling at 60 or more miles an hour, and all of a sudden they come rushing up onto a plow truck that's going 25 miles an hour. That's a dangerous situation. So slow down, give those guys plenty of room. They're out there. They have a very difficult job to do. They're trying to keep the roads open and clear for you. Other things, again, use your vehicle properly. Just because you have a four-wheel drive vehicle doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be any safer. It just means four wheels skidding on ice instead of two. So give yourself plenty of time, plenty of distance. When you come into someone who's actually trying to treat the road, give them plenty of space to do their job.
Thank you very much. I think that's excellent advice. I'm going to throw this question out to the group for a little bit of open discussion. We talked about what sorts of weather we can expect and how to prepare our vehicles. How do we think New Jersey residents should go about preparing their homes as winter approaches? Anything in particular we should be looking at to do? Speaking as a new homeowner, I'd love some advice.
I think the major key is make sure your home is going to stay heated. You know, you can't necessarily control that unless you have a generator and should the power go out and your furnace won't work. For those who get oil, have that delivered. Have your heating unit checked because you can get into trouble very quickly, both health-wise and then, of course, with pipes freezing and such. So that's probably the biggest thing for the homeowner is the heat. And then, of course, the roof. You need a roof over your head and then worry about insulation and such. But that can be done well in advance. Not that the others can as well, but you've really got to keep yourself sheltered properly in order to not get into a situation where you might have to evacuate or, worse yet, be rescued.
I would add to that, too, if you're in a situation where you have some health concerns in terms of shoveling snow, I would make sure I had somebody lined up to do that, shovel the sidewalks, shovel the driveway, because you don't want to be caught in a situation where you have to get out and then you have to put your health in danger or your life in danger to shovel the snow. And these are things that sometimes can be done well ahead of time before the storm actually hits. And I also concur with Dave, too. And on a seasonal basis, it's good to check your fuel, but especially before a storm hits. And one of the good things about long-range forecasts anymore, when we're given forecasts up to a week ahead of time about a major storm, you can take that time to make sure, check your oil tank or your gas tank.
How can we prepare our families and ourselves just to be ready in case there's any of those winter weather extremes to be concerned with?
Well, I actually think the best thing is make sure you know how to get forecasts and go to the forecast source that you trust the most. That could be the National Weather Service. I think it is. But if you have a particular TV station that you like, use that. Whatever you trust, use it. Know how to get the information. Know what the different terminologies are. When we put out a winter storm warning or a winter storm watch, just as we discussed earlier, make sure you know what they mean. You know, keep abreast of current situation, too. I mean, one of the great things about the internet technology anymore is that a lot of the observational data is available on the web. The Weather Service has quite a few. The state climatologist has a lot of information available on the website. So you can stay situationally aware just by looking at the information yourself. I tell people that all the time. If you don't like the forecast, look at the data. The data is good. Our radars are available. When I say our radars, that's what I mean. They're our radars or everybody's radar. We all pay for them through our taxes. Use them. They're on our website. Of course, pay attention to local law enforcement agencies. If they tell you to stay off the road, do so. The snowplow drivers are our friends, not our enemies, what I tell people all the time. So make sure you give them enough space that they need to do their job. If you don't have to go somewhere, don't. And what we tell people a lot in the National Weather Service is it's okay to stay home. If there's a big storm coming and you can't make the trip because there might be some snow in between, don't go. Postpone and go some other time. It's not a big deal anymore. You have to be prepared that there's going to be an interruption in your travel plans because of a storm. Stay home and be safe. So that's one of the biggest messages we'd like to get out anymore.
The only time I disagree with that is if you're in a flood-prone area, because there's so much more to a winter storm than just snow sometimes. And, you know, we saw that with Sandy and Irene and on with the flooding we've had going back 15 years or so back to Floyd. And that is, when you listen to a forecast or a warning, listen to what they're saying, not to what you wish they were going to say. And I often have people say, oh, I never heard that. And I said, because you weren't listening. Listen, and if you're asked over the airwaves, through reverse 911 calling, or from a knock on your door to evacuate because a storm surge might be affecting a coastal area, or a river flood might be affecting your neighborhood, leave, because if you don't, you're putting your life in danger, and you're also putting lives in danger that might come out and rescue you. So don't be selfish. Listen and hear what they're saying, not what you wish they were saying. In the State Climate Office, we looked at previous strong El Nino and La Nina events. And for La Nina events, going back over 50 years, we've had 8 reputable nature. And 7 of the 8 had below average snowfall in New Jersey. The 8th was the last one in 2010-11. So here I was 6 years ago saying, wow, 7 for 7, chances are slim we'd have above average snowfall this winter. And we went and had twice average snowfall. So you have to be careful with those past analogs. But generally, a La Nina puts a storm track to our west up through the Ohio Valley into the eastern Great Lakes. And with the counterclockwise motion of winds around a low pressure system, that tends to bring up warm air that would quickly change any snow and ice over to rain. Thus, we tend to have less snow in La Nina winters, but don't let your guard down because, as was said earlier, it only takes one storm. And then even these storms may begin as some snow or ice and then change over to rain. And then often are followed by cold air right behind it to ice up the wet roads behind them. So don't ever let up your guard. But if I was to stick my climatologic neck out, a La Nina winter tends to have less snowfall. But this one, it's problematic just how strong this La Nina is going to be. And so all bets are off if it's a very weak one. But if it gets a little power behind it, the odds would favor low snow.
What do you think some differences are regionally with regard to winter weather in New Jersey?
We don't think. We know that there's differences regionally within New Jersey. For such a small state, it's kind of fascinating the varying weather you can get in Sussex County versus Cape May County. And at the DOT, we try to get forecasts that are subset specific, the northern region versus the southern region, and react accordingly. So it's not unusual at all that the northwest part of New Jersey that borders Pennsylvania and New York can get twice as many what we call winter events as opposed to southeast New Jersey. We have differing reactions based on where you are in the state for sure.
Of course, one of the most remarkable things is the winter of 2015-2016, the climatologically snowiest part of the state up near High Point had the least amount of snow of anywhere in the state last winter. So it shows that certainly down in the south, you have to be on your toes. And up in the northwest, occasionally, they can relax a little bit more. But they missed the blizzard for the most part. And that made all the difference last winter.
That's true. In fact, we moved resources that were in the northwest part of the state. Once we were confident they were not going to be bombarded from the blizzard, we were able to move them closer to the Newark area, which was really getting crushed.
Yeah, 25 inches in Newark in that blizzard, that roughly. One storm?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
On a normal year, just to put it in perspective, we get, 50, 55 inches up north. In the northwest part of the state, we can get less than 10 down in Cape May during a normal year.
There's not many normal years.
Equal chances.
Well, that's an important thing to realize, too. In New Brunswick, for instance, with well over a century of historic records, the snowiest winter had 76 inches of snow in 1995-96, and the least snowy winter had 4 inches of snow, and that was in 1997-1998. So here we were just a couple of years apart, and more snow fell in 2 hours back in 95-96 than fell in the entire winter of 97-98. So you have to be prepared for anything.
Oh, that's incredible. Joe, you mentioned the National Weather Service websites and Dr. Robinson's website. For our listeners, what are those websites?
Well, our website is weather.gov.
Oh, that's easy. Okay.
Easy enough. And then just click where you want and the forecast will come right.
Oh, because a map pops up, right?
Map so pops
you just
up,
click
yeah.
on New Jersey
right.
and okay.
It's right there.
And we have two websites, but the one most in particular is our Weather and Climate Network, where we have 65 stations reporting all sorts of weather variables around the state every 5 minutes. And that is njweather.org.
Very, very easy. Weather.gov, njweather.org. And DOT?
We have a 511 system. It's used in many states, but our 511 system in New Jersey gives great up-to-date traffic information. So during winter months, if we have situations where we're going to be impacted by the weather, that is another resource from a traffic perspective that you can get some information of how the roadways are affected.
There's an app too as well.
There's an app, there's a website, and there's also over the phone. You could call 511 and tell them what road you're on. I'm on Route 1, and then you'll get a live situational report of what that roadway is doing.
Wow, that's excellent. So a lot of really, really great resources for New Jersey residents to get their information.
I think what's great also about DOT sites are cameras, because if you don't believe what they're saying, you can look at the camera and see it. Although those roads might be in better shape than the feeder roads that are going to get you there, but I find the cameras particularly useful, and they have influenced my travel plans.
That's great. Thank you to our guests today from the National Weather Service and from Rutgers University and from the New Jersey Department of Transportation. Gentlemen, we really appreciate you being here with us today to discuss winter weather in New Jersey. And thanks to our listeners for listening to the New Jersey Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness Intelligence Unclassified.
Again, all links can be found in the show notes and on our website at www.njohsp.gov. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget to subscribe to Intelligence Unclassified.